You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh, I can see the rainbow. I can see the pot of gold at the end of it. Oh no, this can't be happening.
And where do you think you're going, might I ask?
I'm hunting for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And on my journey, I'm looking for me lucky charms. They're magically delicious.
You seem to forget that the pot of gold is never going to be found until you take your car to Perfection Auto Works. Their 26-point free inspection will uncover the problems with your car without the problem of breaking down.
Consider Perfection Auto Works to be your car's pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Call 323-8650. That's 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
The John C. Scott Show is paid for by the John C. Scott Company, LLC. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. Good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thanks for making that possible. Today's show includes an interview with Mo Goldman, one of the most respected immigration lawyers in America, Crisis at the Border. We'll talk with Jeff Rogers, the former chair of the Democratic Party. There is a line deep and wide of those lining up to run for Congress in Congressional District 2, as Ann Kirkpatrick says she will not run again. Jim Hanley has her financial report. Let's get to it with Mo Goldman, continuing where we started last weekend. Here is the immigration lawyer that we choose, and most people do as well. Mo, the crisis of the Trump administration at the border, is it different than the crisis of the Biden administration at the border, or are they the same?
You know, I think the biggest difference, and thank you for having me on,
sure.
John. Good
sure.
to speak with you again.
Thank you.
I think the biggest difference we're looking at right now is the Biden administration is currently examining solutions that hopefully will alleviate the problem, while it seemed like the Trump administration was more interested in exacerbating the problem by causing a bottleneck at the border. I mean, that ultimately was the crux of this migrant protection protocol, the MPP, that was put into place under the Trump administration. And now the Biden administration is trying to undo that because of the concerns about the violations to the UN human rights by forcing individuals to be living on the streets of Mexico while they're trying to seek asylum in the United States. So I think there's a significant difference. I mean, the flow of immigrants obviously, you know, there are different factors that play into, you know, the migrants coming to the United States, and especially what we're seeing with the unaccompanied minors. But ultimately, I think it's a little too soon to say that there's any sort of correlation or any way to compare the two administrations on their immigration policies, because we've already seen the Biden administration open things up significantly as far as allowing these migrants to come into the United States so that they can seek some sort of temporary refuge while their interviews and cases are being processed.
Well, you know, you have Republicans with their hair on fire, screaming the brown horde, as some are saying that, are coming, and there's an invasion. They're going to take your job and probably harm you in some way, as Trump said, coming down the escalator. There's still that kind of mentality out there. What is a part of the Biden administration that's more humane, but as you clearly point out, may be pointed to at least a solution to it, because we know that immigration reform is not going to happen. It just doesn't seem like it's possible.
Yeah, I think the... you know, obviously, the fear-mongering that comes on with relation to this is abhorrent and, you know, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon, at least from one end of the political spectrum. But what we're seeing from the Biden administration under the, you know, especially now that they're starting to get some of their appointments in, like Ali Mayorkas, or Alejandro Mayorkas, as he's officially known as, and he is going to be, or he is the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, we're seeing some potential solutions in the form of cases being reviewed at the individual's own home or in their country so that they don't have to take the treacherous journey, especially the ones from Central America coming through the desert, through Mexico, having to deal with cartels. And so that's one option that is currently being reviewed, and I think they're trying to implement some solution to that. And then on the other hand, you know, right now, there's, again, a bottleneck of thousands upon thousands of individuals who are at the border trying to, you know, get into this process, a system where they can be vetted and their cases can be reviewed by U.S. immigration officers. So I think that ultimately this administration has... you know, has a path to resolve these issues. And we saw this past week on the end of, I think, you know, when you're talking about immigration bills and immigration reform, there were two bills that got passed by the House. One is a DREAM Act bill that passed, and the other is a farm worker bill that would allow both individuals who are dreamers who came here as youths and have been in the United States and went to school here, a path to citizenship. And the farm worker bill would allow undocumented farm workers who are in the United States the opportunity to potentially get permanent residency and have to meet other requirements in order to qualify. So I think what we're seeing right now is, in lieu of a larger comprehensive bill, Congress is taking the approach of going through this in a piecemeal fashion. And again, I mean, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath on the Senate at this point, especially with the filibuster. But, you know, the next step, of course, is the bill going to the Senate, or both bills getting to the Senate, and you know, we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of just moving parts happening in the last 60 to 90 days. There's just so much going on that, you know, can make your head spin.
You know, when we had this conversation a year ago and the year before that, and then I think we talked the year before that, we talked about just last year, thousands on the Mexican side of the border that were denied a hearing in this country, Has that changed?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
The numbers of people waiting to get in were trapped on the Mexican side of the border. Have they been allowed into this country to get a hearing in this country?
Many of them are now being admitted through the ports of entries and being permitted to either be held in some sort of detention facility while they're awaiting their interview or being released under some sort of order of recognizance so that they could be unified with some family or friends that have sponsored them so that they have a place to live. So, yes, we're seeing, you know, more of a flow of people coming in. And, again, I mean, hopefully alleviating a lot of that bottleneck that we saw at the border the last, you know, few years now.
The idea, too, that we're in a situation where the judiciary has been so sparse. You just didn't have enough judges. You didn't have enough lawyers. You didn't have enough people to process. Has that changed? I mean, are the courts any different than they were before?
You know, the resources are limited, and that's one problem. On the other hand, there's been a lot of judges over the last few years that have retired. You have a lot of asylum officers that have not decided to remain with the government because they didn't agree with the policies under Trump. And so there's definitely a void there as far as individuals working for the government, for the different you know, agencies, whether it be the Department of Justice or Department of Homeland Security, that can help process these cases in an expeditious manner. So I think, you know, the combination of that and the pandemic, you know, really brings, you know, unfortunately, a perfect storm to what's already a significant problem being even worse. And so, you know, I think that we're at a point right now where the government is not, they're just not doing things in an efficient manner. And again, part of it is, and maybe a large part is due to the pandemic. And there are, you know, these cases are a priority, but there are so many other cases, you know, thousands upon thousands of, tens of thousands of cases that are still awaiting interviews. And I mean, this is going to blow your mind. Some of them are people who came here requesting asylum all the way back to 2015 and maybe some even earlier. And so that's the, you know, ultimately the problem we have right now is not only do we have a flow of new migrants that are trying to seek refuge in the U.S., but you've got cases for people that have been waiting 5, 6, 7 years now that have not even been interviewed. And a huge part of that is because when Trump was president, the administration decided that they would go into a last-in, first-out asylum review policy. So anyone that was already waiting in the queue wound up getting put in the back of the line, which makes no sense.
By the way, this whole situation, I believe, as part of the Trump administration was, we're going to, if you're going to come across this border illegally with your children, we're going to take your children. And we're going to separate those children from you. This is a deterrent. I believe that was part of the policy. As inhumane as it possible was, it still was the truth. And those who try to deny that are simply lying. That was a Trump administration policy.
Exactly. And the whole ideology with this, the Trump administration, was that we will come up with any possible policy that is going to try to deter people from coming to the United States, whether it be legal or not. I mean, it's true. It's gotten so difficult over the last several years to get any sort of legal process through, let alone people who are just trying to get a review of their asylum case. So, yeah, I mean, it all kind of flows from that same mentality of and this has been spoken of many, many times over the years, the mentality is attrition through enforcement. The more that we enforce, the more hyper-enforcement that the U.S. immigration system is, the belief of the Trump administration and many who back that feel that that is the way to resolve the problem, to make it so difficult that people just don't want to come or take the children and separate them. You know, there's many different strategies for that, which actually, I don't know if you have to take a break yet, but
yes.
It would segue into something else I was going to talk about, but you tell me. Do you have
no,
time?
That's fine. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll go to the something else you want to talk about.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's a good segue.
All right, good. Fine. Thank you. Mo Goldman, immigration lawyer of the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back in a moment.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 South Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the Ina Road location, making this Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in all of Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-love home furnishings into cash. Visit Homestyle Gallery Store at 2950 South Ina Road. They are open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square foot superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location at 2950 South Ina Road, Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Show with Mo Goldman, immigration lawyer. Let's pick up where we left off. Go, Mo.
Yep. I guess I'm the producer now, too.
You did 4 minutes.
You wanted to take
four minutes to the break. You got 4 minutes. Go.
All right. Well, I was going to bring up one of the most significant deterrents that the Trump administration tried to implement and did implement for some time was the public charge rule. And the public charge rule was one of Stephen Miller's crowning achievements when he was in the White House. And as of the past week, this rule is gone. It's been taken away. And that's great news for immigrants who are trying to come legally and apply legally through the immigration process. The reason why it's good news is the public charge rule was basically a wealth test that the government was going to use to evaluate who would be worthy of becoming a resident of the United States or a green card holder of the U.S. based upon their economic status. I talked with many off the record who work, you know, with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service, who couldn't stand this rule in this form because it was, it went against the ideology of family unity and lawful immigration. Basically, what it did was it created a form called the I-944, Declaration of Self-Sufficiency, where the individual would have to show that they either have assets, their income background, do they have a credit score, have they ever filed for bankruptcy, and it would put individuals who maybe are retired or don't work at a potential disadvantage to applying for legal permanent residence in the United States. And so the rule, when it was first introduced, was first challenged immediately and found to be unlawful, but it went into some litigation, and eventually the form was released last February. And so for about a year, it wreaked havoc on many individuals who had to apply and had to attach, like in some cases, hundreds of pages of documents showing any of their assets and any liabilities that they have. And so, I mean, there's been some good news coming out, at least in the last few weeks. And this was one of the biggest pieces of great news, especially for future immigrants, so that they don't have to go through the process of trying to show their self-worth just economically, which is what this was trying to do.
Wondering if the Trump administration was going to apply that to U.S. citizens, then they'd have to be removed from this country.
You never know. How many would have a problem with that?
Yeah, we're out of time here.
No problem.
It's always great to talk with you. I learned so much from you, and I'm so glad you agreed to appear on our show on a regular basis.
Anytime.
I'll have you back soon. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing part of yours with us.
All right, have fun with Jeff.
I will do that. Thank you. Mel Goldman is one of the best immigration lawyers in America. Speaking of lawyers, Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, talks about the line wide and deep to run for Congress in CD2 now that Ann Kirkpatrick is not. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for listening. Back in a moment.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack was broke, and so was his Jaguar. He needed to sell it quick. He ran into an old man.
Hey, watch where you're going.
Sorry. Hey, you want to buy a car?
Sure, kid. It looks like a nice car. How about if I give you these magical beans?
Wow, what a deal!
Barnum was right.
The old man took the car to Bogus Auto Repair, where they only do a 6-point vehicle inspection. Overlooking the faulty brakes, the car went careening off a cliff. Now here's Mike Emery with the moral of the story.
Make no beans about it. Taking your car to Perfection Auto Works guarantees you get a free 26-point inspection, 1 year, 12,000-mile warranty on all of our work, and an auto mechanic shop that cares to give you the very best in automotive repairs. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
If you love Arizona, you want to be informed about our state and local politics, but you don't often see your progressive values in Arizona's media. BlogForArizona.net is designed for you. For 15 years, BlogForArizona.net has political news, opinion, and events for Arizona's liberals. BlogForArizona.net is always free, always independent, and always left. Please visit BlogForArizona.net today and every day.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guinea's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guinea's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, John.
All right. We're at a Saturday afternoon. We've got people lined up wide and deep to run for Congress in CD2 now that Ann Kirkpatrick says she's not running again. I've heard that Kristen Ingalls announced she's got a committee together. Talked to Randy Freese. He says, I'm 98% there. We got David Gallon, the one-time Speaker of the House, and idiot. I'll just add that. Anyway, we've got all kinds of people lined up. Maybe Joe Morgan. This is going to be like the Grijalva first run, don't you think?
Well, it might, but I think it sounds to me like the strongest two candidates are Dr. Freese and Kristen Engel. Those are pretty formidable candidates. It'd be nice if they could flip a coin or play a deck of cards and decide on one or the other and move forward with just one of the strongest ones. But those are pretty strong candidates. I don't think anybody else is going to emerge. I heard that Matt Hines had ruled it out, but that was just sort of through the grapevine, so I'm not sure I'm not entirely correct on that, but that would have been my guess as well, since he just got elected to the Board of Supervisors. So, and for the Republicans, you know, they've just got to, you know, if they're going to put up people like Gallon and who'd you mention the other one was?
Morgan, you know, who ran it before.
Morgan, yeah. If they put people up like that, they don't have a prayer of winning that seat. I mean, unless the redistricting commission really changes the makeup of that district, then they might have a shot at it. But right now, you know, it's going to, historically, that seat has gone to a moderate Democrat or a moderate Republican. Republicans really, or someone like McSally, who pretended to be a moderate. We'll hold that seat, I think, no matter what, if they don't put up somebody kind of, you know, rational and down the middle. And it's hard for somebody like that to win a primary in Arizona right now and elsewhere in the United States. These Trumpsters are, you know, going to nominate kinds of people that can't win general elections. And I hope we don't go down that path, but I think we'll stay more centrist, and those are really excellent candidates.
Let me take you to another subject. And Republicans in the state legislature working around the clock, I'm sure you follow this, to make it harder for millions of Arizonans to not be able to vote right now. Arizona's bearing the brunt with the most voter suppression bills in the country. There's 19 of them. Count them. 19 GOP-backed bills that would make it harder to obtain absentee ballots, prohibit automatic voter registration, worsen ID requirements, and much, much more. That's an all-out assault on voter accessibility, Jeff.
Yeah. No, they've learned now, after losing Georgia and Arizona, that they can't win a free and fair election, so they've got to put their thumbs on the scale and figure out how to limit people's right to vote. Narrow it down to, you know, old angry white men. I mean, that's their base right now, and they aren't really producing any more angry old white men. So I kind of think that they've chosen this path, and they're doing it all over the nation in states where they control the legislature, and it's going to backfire on them. I'm telling you, because you know it's going to affect their voters as well. I mean, there are an awful lot of Republican voters. Permanently voter list and like to fill out their ballots at home and either mail them in or drop them off at the polling place. I think this is going to backfire on them.
By the way, there were some very narrow races. There's no question about that. And you only really have to switch a few thousand and you could alter the outcome of the race. There is every reason to believe that this voter restriction could alter the race. There's no doubt about that, is there, in your mind?
No, there ain't any doubt in my mind at all.
As they take a look at this whole situation, is there anything illegal that they're trying to do? Can they? Is the legislature have all of this power to restrict people from actually going to be able to vote in an accessible way?
You know, they gutted the Voting Rights Act in a few years back. Section 2 of it was fairly well gutted. So I think that you're going to have to go in and prove that they're doing this intentionally to suppress minority voting. And I don't even know if the Supreme Court's going to accept that argument, but other courts, lower courts, are starting to use these arguments and set aside some of these restrictive voting practices, because clearly they're aimed at minorities and others, you know, who have historically been discriminated against in voting, and that's exactly what they're trying to do now. And so, you know, if we lived in the prior to the Supreme Court's recent decision about 4 years ago, then these kinds of things couldn't happen without Justice Department approval, because certain states, Georgia and Arizona amongst them, you know, had a long history of discriminatory voting practices and of keeping minority voters from registering and voting. And so they had to go through Justice Department approval to make any changes in their voting laws. And the Supreme Court struck that down by a 5-4 vote, an opinion authored by the Chief Justice Roberts. And, you know, that really is what's allowing them to pass these kinds of bills. But, you know, they still have a threshold to meet of if they are intentionally doing this to limit the franchise of minority voters, which they clearly are, and it's just a matter of being able to prove it in court, then some of these could get struck down.
Final question. Did it surprise you that Rahina Romero, our mayor, did not accept a Washington, D.C. job that apparently she was qualified for and was considered for? And then there's speculation, well, maybe she wants to run for Congress or she wants to do something else. What do you think the future of our mayor is, Rahina Romero?
Well, I think she views herself as maybe one of the natural heir apparents to Raul Grijalva's seat. I don't think that she would stand a chance in a general election in whatever CD2 turns out to be. She's more likely to have a better chance on Congressman Grijalva's congressional seat, but because it's a much more liberal district, and she probably would be a very strong candidate for that district, but I can't see her being a real strong candidate in CD2. Just like I couldn't see Congressman Grijalva being a great candidate in CD2. I wouldn't think that this would be an opportunity for her. And I don't think he's going to retire anytime soon. He seems to be healthy and well. And, you know, and when you're in the majority and you are chair of important subcommittees, that gives you, more power than you had when you were in the minority.
That's okay.
I don't see him. I think if Grijalva were to retire, it would be because we lose the House. If we lose the House, then he might end up in a position thinking, well, you don't have much power or authority here. You know, maybe it's time for me to just spend more time with my grandkids. But I don't see him leaving anytime soon as long as we continue to hold the majority in the House.
Jeff Rogers, always great talking with you. I like so much to hear your observations. They're generally right on. Thanks for being with us on this weekend. Appreciate you giving us part of yours. Thanks.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right. Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party on the John C. Scott Political Forum. Financial report from Jim Hanley, next on the John C. Scott Political Forum.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Now, 2 great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 South Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the Ina Road location, making this Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in all of Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved home furnishings into cash. Visit Homestyle Gallery Store at 2950 South Ina Road. They are open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square foot superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location at 2950 South Ina Road, Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Receiving the right financial advice during a difficult time can make all the difference, and this is the time to meet Jim Hanley. Jim owns a financial advisory company. His company administers millions of dollars through his customer accounts, small enough to offer personal representation, but large enough to offer a myriad of opportunities to protect and grow your investments. Here's our financial advisor. Here's Jim Hanley. Hi, Jim.
Hi, John. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Let's talk a little bit about the trickle-down theory of our House of Representatives, House Resolution 2320-something. I can't remember, but it's not good unless you're rich. So tell me about that and where we're going with more trickle-down from the GOP.
Well, John, you know, there is this overriding philosophy in the Arizona legislature, which is continually cited by our Republican colleagues up there, that if you just give enough money to corporations and the rich, it'll trickle down to the rest of us and we'll all do well. Pam Powers Hanley, as you know, is my wife, and so I get updates on what goes on in the legislature when she comes home. And she was telling me about HB 2321.
Jim, just a minute. You're breaking up, and I know you have a new device that it might be a little more easier to use. But if you go back to the phone, I think we're going to be a lot better off because it's breaking up pretty good. Can you do that?
How's this? Right. How's this, John?
Much better. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Good.
Pam
good.
Told you about this.
Yes.
All
yes.
right, go.
HB 2321. HB 2321 expands the corporate tax credits for what they call qualified corporations. These are companies that if they build a new facility in Arizona, they get a tax credit for every employee that they hire. Now, there are requirements for the wages of the employees that they hire. They have to be at a certain level of the median wage here. The company also has to be committed to paying for the benefits. Now, Pam tells me that before this bill, it was 80%. The company had to pay 80% of the employee benefits. They've reduced that to 65% of employee benefits. And they have increased the per employee tax credit to $30,000 a year from $20,000. So the legislature sets aside a certain maximum amount of tax credits that are available to corporations. Before this bill, the maximum was $70 million. This bill would raise it to $125 million. Now, she tells me that the total amount currently of tax credits available in this state is $600 million. So sometimes the tax credits are so great that corporations do not have enough tax liability to claim the credits that they have, that they've been awarded. This new bill will actually be refundable, we understand. In other words, so let's say that a corporation has $100 in tax credits, but they only have a tax liability of $20. Well, the state will pay them the $80 of tax credit that they didn't use. It's a refund. So, you know, John, the thing that is disturbing to me is that we have a situation in this state where government is chronically underfunded. We are told there's not enough money to fund our public schools properly. You know, God knows the university tuition continues to go up and make college more and more unaffordable to our children. And a lot of the reason for this is because of these tax credits that really just it's feeding the corporations with this misguided idea that they're, by feeding them, it trickles down to us, and it's really got to end. It's bankrupting the working class here. We carry most of the tax burden, and we're really subsidizing these corporations needlessly.
Jim, let me ask you to do something. I was noticing on your blog, you have some great blogs on your website. Give me a summary of a couple of them. I got about 6 minutes left, so maybe 3 minutes each on a couple of blogs that I think you're very proud of and really quite relevant today's economic questions people have.
Great. Thanks for asking, John. Yes, I posted two new blog posts this week. The first one was about microcap investing, and the second one was what I called emerging markets equities done right. The one about microcap investing, I've talked a little bit about on your shows before, and what that is investing in smaller, newer companies that are so small is they're smaller than small caps. Maybe your listeners are familiar with that term, small caps. There's mid caps, large caps. Well, micro caps are companies with less than $1 billion in market capitalization. Lots of them have only about $50 million of investment capital. A lot of them are in the $200 to $300 million range. So because their market caps are so low, typically it's because they're newer, and newer companies are producing products or offering services that are innovative. So these are newer, and I think that an investor has to have a certain amount of tolerance for risk in order to be successful investing in this sector, because they typically have more volatility. But the thing that I focus in on is the story. I look at who's managing the company, whether they are experts in the field, whether they're soundly committed to the mission of the company. And that's what I buy. I have a few pharma companies. One of my pharma companies is working hard to develop a cure for blood cancers. I have a company that's making three-wheeled electric vehicles. Another one makes highway electric vehicle charging stations. I got one that's doing really well this week that makes what they call smart glasses. So these are glasses that somebody can wear. They've got stereophonic sound. They've got microphones. They've got cameras on them, and they have a heads up display so that you can see your web browser in the glasses lens. And this has found a lot of wide applications. This company is called Vuzix. It trades under the ticker VUZI. And you know, one of the things that they've done is they've trained a workforce. The company that has the containers for the Pfizer vaccine that has to be kept at sub-zero temperatures. These shipping containers are highly specialized, and they've had to ramp up their workforce technicians quickly so that they know how to set the dials and those kinds of things. Well, by having a technician wearing these glasses, somebody in a remote location can see what the technician is looking at and guide them to make the adjustments that they're supposed to make. So that's Vuzix, and that is an innovative product that that I'm buying, that I like. The other one about emerging markets equities done right.
Got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. We had the CFA Society sponsored a meeting with the COO of a company that does emerging markets equities you know, very well. And the point that he makes about that is that you want to invest in emerging markets because they have growing populations. Growing populations mean a growing workforce. A growing workforce means more value added. So economic growth in these countries. There's also a lot of new consumer demand in these countries as well, because people in developing countries don't have all of the consumer products that people in developed countries have. So there's a lot of potential for consumer demand and economic growth through that. So,
all right.
There's a couple of blog posts there.
All right.
And
I want people to go online to jimhanleyllc.com. Those blogs are available. And obviously pick up the phone, call you at 623-3646. You answer your own phone, and you've got information that would be very, very worthwhile to a great many people. And it's always great talking with you. I learn so much about it. And I get so many compliments because the people that deal with you have such a great trust in you, and you reward them with profit. And they are very pleased about that. Jim Hanley, thanks for being with us. I hope you have a great weekend. And we have more to talk about next week. Hope you'll be with us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, John. Always enjoy it.
Thank you. Want to say thanks to my Jayhawks for beating Eastern Washington today. And moving on, they scared the living hell out of me. But go Hawks. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Thank you, Mike Emery. I'm John C. Scott. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Jeez, Edith, where's the car? Meathead was supposed to meet us out front there.
Oh, I meant to tell you, Archie. He took it over to Perfection Auto Works.
Oh, gosh, yeah, Edith, I told you I don't want anybody touching that car unless they know what they was doing.
Archie, Mike Emery knows what he's doing. He's ASE certified and he restores old cars.
Well, Edith, you done it again. Geez, Edith, is that the LaSalle? Listen to it purring.
It reminds me of the first time you took me out on a date, Archie.
Oh, yes, you were purring yourself that night, weren't you, Edith?
Oh, Archie.
Stifle yourself there, Edith.
We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, and even LaSalle. But don't let that scare your Toyota or Chevy away. 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
G-R-O-S-N-A-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-R-E-N-G-